Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. It's a beautiful summer day. It's a Friday. It's August 15th. We are now just a couple weeks away from the start of the NFL regular season. Welcome into another episode of Cabali and Mac. It's a little illy day. It's Don Bloomfield and that. Kaboom. Can't wait to go partake in all kinds of street fair food.
What did you call it?
Men play bocce. Little Italy days.
Oh,
Little days.
I don't need to go to Little Italy days.
Come on, Bazan. What's that? You not go?
I go to Olive Garden.
Terrible Italian accent I just did, by the way.
Yeah, I go to Olive Garden. No, I go to... Hey, if I want my Italian food, Mac, I'm going to...
Yoli's. You see them in Craft House.
Jefferson Hills.
Where if you're one of the first 500 Instagram followers to the Cabali and Mac account, you'll be in a drawing to win this $100 gift certificate. That's how people take care of us around here. We appreciate each and every one of you. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Thanks for joining us here on Cabali and Mac today on X live stream on YouTube, where if you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers, you'll be entered into that drawing for an autographed Paul Skeens baseball. And we're getting very, very close now, just about 120 subscribers away from that happening. So who knows? Could happen over the weekend here as the Steelers get ready to play the Buccaneers. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the joint practice yesterday. Assistant General Manager Andy Weidel spoke yesterday. We'll let you hear some of what he had to say. Make sure, though, you're following on all the social media. We appreciate you doing so. I mentioned Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere you get your stuff. Where they're giving it to you, getting you ready for this season, even if there ain't nobody playing in the preseason games. We'll talk about that as well, who is and isn't going to play tomorrow night down at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. He's veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack, just some guy with a laptop in his basement getting ready to play some Shaboozy records later. Look at that neon behind you, Kaboom. It's looking good.
Yeah,
that's some Iron City action there.
I got to get it all set up here.
You do. You got to start putting the room together, man.
Here's the problem. I brought this in yesterday, and I set it down. And the kid started playing with his wrestlers like it was a prop. He was like jumping guys off. I'm like, yo, bro.
Yo.
For a second.
Don't mess with the neon. That thing's fragile enough as is. You can't have him breaking it with one of his headless wrestling figures doing a moonsault off of it.
Yeah, so I'm like, but this thing's sucker's heavy. That I was reading the directions. Yeah, I very rarely read the directions, but like, I did on this one. It says you have to attach it to the ceiling. I'm like, I'm sure I can put it on the wall, right?
Yeah, you just better anchor that thing, man. Get a couple good wall anchors.
That's one thing I could do. I put up my television sets. I have this thing that's called a stud finder.
Yeah. What happens when you go like this? It goes.
It just goes like this. Nothing. No. We'll get up and rolling here.
It's looking good. Looking good. The hat's looking good, too.
Yeah, I was asked about the hats. You got the old pretending like you're from the 80s hat.
I got the vintage look. I got the... Give me an IC Light hat. I got the IC Light sign over here on the wall now. Looking good.
You should suggest to them to make a hat and say, you tell them, Ray.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. Or a T-shirt. Just that. that guy on the front. And it just says, you tell him, Ray, you don't get these sitting around petting kitty cats.
Yeah, you tell him, Ray.
Give him a 10-pound sledgehammer, 20-pound sledgehammer.
I wonder where Ray's at right now. Is Ray still alive? That's been like 30 years, right? 25 years?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Who was Ray? I'd love to get some intel on that if anybody out there.
He's just not an actor. I hope he was like literally
a dude from Southside named Ray.
Yeah, or, you know, on the railroads, the B&O railroads. Is that what they're called now? I don't even know what they're called. PLE, Pennsylvania Lake Erie. Is that what they're called?
Whatever that train is that goes behind our neighborhoods.
It goes behind yours, not mine. We're still fighting with the Thomas Jefferson School District to try to get the bus to come down to our area. It's not going well.
Did you call the bus garage?
Oh, the bus garage told us to go stick it. The superintendents told us to go stick it.
What?
Now people are getting really mad. So
you got to drive your kid all the way up the hill to
He almost got hit by a car last year because of this.
That's garbage. I'll chirp back. He'll get it taken care of.
The bus let the kids off to go across the road, and some police officer decided that she wanted to drive around the bus and almost took out the boy.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, old man problems here.
Yeah, these are definitely old man problems. Old man problems if you got to take care of your lawn when it's never raining. You don't have to water it. You don't have to spray weed killer or bug spray or do any of that stuff. Mow it even. You know, you don't have to weed whack. None of that. If you got Southwest Greens, go to southwestgreenspa.com. We got to appreciate them supporting the show. They'll come on out. Again, southwestgreenspa.com. Go there. Tell Jake the Cabali and Max sent you. And they'll show you exactly what they can do for your yard. Maybe it's just part of the yard. Maybe a little area around the kids' playset or the pool, whatever it may be. You want a little area to practice the putting. Finish the stroke off if you're not getting out on the course enough this year. They can do it all. They can do the whole damn yard if you want them to. southwestgreenspa.com. Get a hold of them today. We appreciate them supporting Cabali and Mac. So before we get to the joint practice with the Buccaneers yesterday down on the north side, let's talk about what happened before the joint practice, which was Mike Tomlin basically telling everybody ain't nobody going to play again tomorrow night.
Yeah. Anticipated play time. I'm going to play this.
I don't know. Why is it showing that thing up on the screen? All I wanted it to do was to play Mike Tomlin. What's going on, huh? What'd you do, Mark?
Here we go.
Here we go.
You're supposed to be the smart one.
Anticipate play time. I'm going to play this preseason game very much like we did the first one in terms of participation. The same collection of guys that were held out the last time will comprise the guys that are held out this time. Those include Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf, Jaylen Warren, the two tight ends, Muth and Jonnu, Isaac Seumalo on the offensive line on the defensive side of the ball. The three edge guys, TJ, Highsmith, maybe I'll let Herbert play a little bit. It depends on how much quality work he gets today. Cam won't play. Pat Queen won't play. Those core secondary guys that I held out last time, I will hold out this time.
Nobody's going to play, Mark. Nobody's playing. Is there going to be anybody left to actually play in the game? Good God.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph, maybe. I would like to see Jaylen Warren out there, but apparently he's not going. I mean, this totally goes against the way Mike Tomlin has in the past. I mean, he would play guys sparingly depending on what had happened, but he would never sit out this amount of guys throughout the preseason. I'm just trying to get a grasp on what's the reasoning for it. It's not because they're getting good work. It's not because, hey, we're playing against our defense and they get us ready. I mean, the only thing I can think of is he loves his team so much he doesn't want to even have a chance to throw a wrench into it before it even starts. That's the only thing I can think of here. I mean,
there had to be something during the offseason, like somebody did a study or something on the amount of reps or something and how it doesn't.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner.
So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Help veteran players. It hurts. That's the only thing I can think of, is that somebody came to him with some data over the last couple of years and said, Mike, this is why guys don't need to play in the preseason. Because he started to get this way over the last couple of years with, again, some of the veteran guys, right? Like the TJs and the Cams of the world. But that made sense.
Yeah, it's understandable.
Now, okay, I get it. You add in Rodgers and he's 40 and you don't want to put a lot of totally get that to an extent. But now it's like literally nobody's playing in these preseason games.
I mean, it's not. I mean, is there one reason why Jalen Warren shouldn't be playing? You got four or five offensive linemen there. What's wrong with getting him out there and giving him four carries, three carries? I mean, is he that indispensable that if he does, like, you know, have a hamstring, that you're going to fall apart? I understand the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Maybe I don't understand the DK Metcalf stuff. Or maybe I do. I mean, he is by far the lifeblood of this wide receiver crew. It's either him or nothing.
Right.
But don't we playing in our fears, right? I mean.
Oh. Oh. You need to ask Mike, are you living in your fears?
I just don't. I'm not a big fan of people playing in the preseason, but to this extent just seems very weird to me. It goes against everything he typically believes in. There has to be a reason why, and I'm quite sure that we'll never figure that out.
Somebody needs to ask him, right? Somebody needs to say, hey, Mike. Yeah,
maybe I can twist his arm and make him tell me.
I'm not saying you can make him give you a truthful answer. You know what?
I'll tell you when we'll find out. Next July, the first day of camp, I mean, we get together with Tomlin. He just BS's and shoots the crap. He'll probably say then, well, you know, this is the reason why I'm doing it. I did this last year. It's like, well, it doesn't mean no good right now. That's probably when we'll find out for real, legit.
Well, it just doesn't make a ton of sense for, like, in particular, the secondary guys. I get it. Jalen Ramsey is a veteran too. Darius Slay isn't getting any younger. But, like, those are some of the guys. Like, if you're going to put your offense, most of your offensive line out there together, I'd also like to see most of the secondary out there together. And I still stand by the fact that it wouldn't kill Aaron Rodgers to get a series in at some point this preseason.
I'm okay with him. Honestly, I'm okay with him. I'm probably okay with DK, TJ, Cam. But other than that, I mean, we're not asking them to play 50, 60 snaps. We're asking them to go out there and have a series and, you know, especially how the defense played yesterday. Maybe you need some of that. Maybe they are reading their own clips. I would say reading their own clips, but they're providing those own clips for themselves, saying they're the best defense in the world. And all of a sudden, Buccaneers come into town and smack them around in a joint practice a little bit.
Like, smack them around? Is that bad?
Well, you know, these aren't my words. These are the players afterwards. They weren't very happy with the way they played defensively. It's very difficult, honestly, to tell at that point. You got 200 people, and you got, instead of basically one practice going on, you got two practices going on. Say you got 7-on-7 on the right side, on the north end zone of the Steelers offense, first team. Then you got 7-on-7 of the Steelers defense on the south end zone. So which one are you going to be looking at? So it's really hard to follow at times, plus, you know, the limited spaces we're allowed to go to. So anybody that tells you definitely one way or another of what happened is lying. They are just
I'm surprised they
saw a player too, and maybe something with some of the players said afterwards.
I'm surprised they don't give you the old Men in Black treatment where they hold the flashy red light up in front of your eyes to make you forget everything you saw before you leave. That's how tight this thing was yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't even allowed to stand in between the benches on the, like, the track area. It's our gig. It's their rules. I mean, what am I going to do? Sit there and moan and complain? I mean,
you could. Nobody would listen. Could.
I mean, it's not going to do any good. It's not going to do any good. You weren't allowed. They treat it like a practice, a closed practice. That's probably why they closed the practice. They used to have those practices open a couple years ago, but then they realized, then we can pretty much tell everybody in the world what's going on. Let's close these suckers and put the clamps down. And you saw it yesterday. There was Tampa media there. And apparently they didn't get the memo because a lot of tweets were sent. Then were deleted.
Really?
Somebody broke some rules.
Tampa is a lawless. It's a lawless place down there. They're not paying attention to any rules. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show as well. You need to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're the people to take care of you. Go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they'll help guide you through the entire process and help you find exactly what you're looking for, or help you get exactly what you're looking to get out of your previous property as well. The Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. Okay, so as far as the practice goes, there's a couple things to talk about here because they're the things we're allowed to talk about because they're the things the players confirmed, right? So let's start with this. You mentioned the defense getting carved up a bit. Baker Mayfield, I'll say this. I probably believe in Baker Mayfield a little bit more than the average Steelers fan. I think he is better than a lot of people give him credit for. I think you saw it in the last 7 or 8 games last year, especially when he's got quality receivers to throw to, and he's got that in Tampa. Evans, Godwin, you add in Emeka Egbuka, who I think is going to be really, really good. Had the Steelers drafted him in the first round, I would have been super excited. Not that I don't like Derek Harmon, but I think Egbuka is ready to step in and be an impact player right away. But what Egbuka noted in his post-game media scrum was he mentioned that the Steelers were playing some zone outside. And we've been told over and over again since the acquisition of Jalen Ramsey that this was going to be a team that was going to play to the strengths of their cover corners, whether it's Ramsey, Slay, JPJ. They're going to use that to their advantage. And we were even told by Mike Tomlin the other day that Ramsey was probably going to follow Mike Evans all over the field. And that didn't happen. They played zone. So based on what you're allowed to talk about, Kaboom, what happened to the defense yesterday, in particular the secondary, and that they got carved up a bit by Baker Mayfield in the first team offense of the Bucs?
Well, Baker Mayfield, like you said, is not your average quarterback. He's not your Logan Woodside, so to speak, right? And they do got very talented receivers, something that the Steelers secondary really haven't been able to routinely go against as well. I just take Egbuka, whatever his name is. Why can't these people have names I can pronounce?
Egbuka. It's not hard. Egbuka. It's just the way it's written.
Egbuka. Is it? I thought there was a G in there.
E-G. Yeah, Egbuka. Egbuka.
I call him Egbuka. Egbuka said that they played a lot of zone coverage, which totally goes against what Tomlin's been pushing all season. Maybe this team was a matchup zone type of team instead. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to see it, but I don't. You would think that if you had that opportunity and you had Ramsey, you had Slay, right, you had Porter, you had all those guys out there to see where you're really at right now and decide to go against that for the most part.
This would have been the perfect trial run for what you want to do. And look, I'm not saying the Buccaneers or the Bengals. The Buccaneers offense is good, very good at times. Still not the Bengals offense. But this would have been a really good trial run for some of the stuff maybe that you want to do against the Bengals in the regular season, right? Good quarterback. I know Burrow's much better than Mayfield. Even if I like Mayfield, Burrow's much better than Mayfield. The receivers, good, but better maybe than what Tampa has in some respects, obviously with Chase and Higgins and Yoshivas. But I think it would have been a good opportunity to practice some of what you want to put into place against teams with deeper receiving cores and quality quarterbacks. And instead, they go out there and play a bunch of zone. That doesn't compute for me.
They did do a lot of individuals, which are individuals are man coverage. So, and they're obviously receivers that they don't know of. Maybe they felt that they got the most out of that. But don't think for a second Mike Tomlin talking before practice rather than after it wasn't by design. So these are questions that he did not have to answer.
Well, he'll still have to answer. Well, I would, as long as the reporters don't get blockaded from the media room after the game, as they were in Jacksonville, these are questions that I imagine will come up tomorrow night in post game, whether they're about the game itself against Tampa tomorrow or about the practice that was held yesterday. I would think that some young enterprising reporters like yourself would say, "Hey, Mike, this defense was supposed to be built to play a lot of man. We noticed that there might have, you know, the other team pointed out you were playing a lot of zone on Thursday. And if we see more of that on Saturday night, maybe it's a more relevant question." But I think that's worth asking him about if an opportunity comes up to ask him about
it. Yeah, could be. Depends on what they do during the game, too. If there are a lot of zone coverage during the game, obviously. But if not, I don't know if you really go down that route 4 days, 3 days after the fact of saying, "Hey, why didn't you practice this?" But, hey, what can I say? We talked about how good this defense was. Mm-hmm. And we're always like, is this defense really this good in camp, or was it because the offense was struggling? I don't know.
Maybe that's
our
answer.
The jury might be out a little bit right now. However, I mean, you still didn't have Highsmith playing. You still didn't have a ton of reps. I mean, you go in and out a lot, too. You know, obviously, if TJ gets one rep, then somebody else comes out. That's totally different than really game action as well. So it's hard to point and say, hey, they're overestimating their worth here because of this game, because it's not like game. It's not game like at all. It's like a rep. Although I did maybe, you know, I don't know how well TJ practiced yesterday, but.
Wait. You can't.
I just watched TJ a couple times and it was like.
Lob that grenade in there. And then.
I just happened to look at TJ for one drill of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't getting quite far. And then I looked at who he was going against and it was like a 4-string tackle. And I was like, huh.
Okay. One
he could have been just working on stuff too, you know.
Yeah.
Different moves. Who knows? I mean, we jumped to conclusions, but at that point, I mean, he wasn't looking good. If you want to talk about something that looks good, this team looks like it's unstoppable in the red zone.
Really?
Unstoppable.
Before we get to that, super commenter Torsha on YouTube wanted to know if you're allowed to say how Egbuka looked. Since I just pumped Egbuka's tires.
As Jerry DePaulo once said on a commercial 30 years ago, big and sweaty. You remember that commercial?
No. Ah,
people always tell me how the Steelers look, and I always tell them big and sweaty. That's a great commercial.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
The Tributes have a commercial maybe in the 90s. Maybe even a little bit later than that, 95-ish. And, you know, Bill Meduno was on there and guys like that. And they asked Jerry DePaulo because he was covering the Steelers. And Jerry goes, "People always ask me how the Steelers look. And I say, big and sweaty."
Jesus. How did Egbuka look? Did he look good?
Big
and sweaty. Got it.
It was probably sweaty because it was 90. I mean, they didn't even have Godwin either.
Yeah.
I mean, what do they have here? Evans, who is
Egbuka, Kate Otten.
Evans was doing what he could do. I mean, pretty much at will, right? He could do whatever he wanted. Yes.
Well, wait. At will, he was just basically toying with
Ramsey. Well, I will just say that that's what some of the Tampa reporters reported.
Oh.
So let me just.
Okay.
References with that. So
before their tweets
got
deleted,
if it was taken down or not, right?
Okay.
I mean, did you see Rick Stroud, the Tampa paper, saying,
"No,
I just talked to Todd Bowles and he told me Baker played so well, I'm not going to play him tomorrow." the first thing I thought of is, yeah, could you imagine Mike Tomlin like talking to a media guy an hour after he watched a film to tell him what happened? That's the first thing that popped in my head. And second of all, I was saying, damn, Baker Mayfield must have really played well. They're not going to play him Saturday now.
Or maybe they didn't plan to play him in the first place, and that's just the nice way to pump his quarterback's tires.
I don't think Peyton Baker needs that. Boy.
No, probably not.
I mean, just revisionist. Go back and look at the, I don't know, a revisionist history or whatever, but God damn, the Browns have to feel like a bunch of goobers right now.
They feel like the Browns.
He had 30 years. They ran out of town, said he was too small, too crappy, too much of a pain in the ass, and he turns out to be a pretty damn good quarterback.
Yeah, the Browns, once again, were the Browns. I mean, that's just every time they do something, I just look at it through the lens of, it's Cleveland. Shouldn't surprise us.
I think the Browns did him dirty even when this happened. I was saying it. This is a guy that fought through injuries. He was shoulder injuries, everything just to play. And just because he wasn't very consistent that one year, everybody wanted him out of town.
I will say he is a classic example of, if he were a Steeler, Pittsburgh would be apps. They would be building a statue of him already. That just the way he plays the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a good team. I mean, honestly, those Buccaneers,
they should win the division.
They might run away with the division. They might be already officially clinched.
Atlanta's not going to be bad.
What do you think? The
Saints are going to be a disaster, and Carolina. Yeah,
there you go. So you're getting your
four wins.
Arguing for me, buddy.
I'm not arguing. I'm saying, I just said Atlanta. It might not be terrible. Atlanta might be a 9-win team. Tampa, though, without getting too deep in the weeds on the Buccaneers, the way their schedule stacks up, like, they could win 11 games. They could be a surprise 11-win team. And
it all depends on how Michael Penis does. Did you see that? See, I a lot of times get the not the typo, but the autocorrect from when I was like, he took a shot, and it would always be, he took a shit.
Yeah.
I always got that one. I had to be very, very aware of that.
But your phone's never auto-corrected Penix to penis?
No, but I'm not on freaking national TV or whatever.
It wasn't national. It was like the Savannah affiliate or the Columbus, whatever, Georgia affiliate.
What's that called? The Crawl or something? Is that what that was? The
no, it was the Chiron, the actual name identifier below Michael Penix on that local TV station in Georgia.
No, the X and the S are really close to each other on the type.
Right next to each other.
You know, you got fat fingers, maybe it accidentally, you know, and they're not going to auto-correct that anyways. But
no.
Have you a PR guy and you call up that, hey, you screwed up. How did we screw up? You put penis instead of Penix.
You called our quarterback Mr. Penis. That's how.
Who makes that call?
Don't forget to check in on the Third Do First In podcast. They've been supporting the show lately as well, and we appreciate it. All about firefighters, first responders, a couple of firefighters hosting the show, Keith and Gino, talking about everything from that walk of life and everything that goes into it with some really interesting guests. If you're not in that realm, it's still an interesting listen because you get to hear the stories from the people that are in that life. Firefighters, first responders, go check it out on YouTube, social media, Third Do First. And we appreciate them getting on board with Cabali and Mac as well. Okay. So to the other side of the ball, because we talked about,
hold on one second. You know, I'm just noticing my hat looks cool. Yours looks like you won it at Kennywood.
What are you talking about? This hat's awesome.
That little stripe bearer, you know, that's something.
That's the rope. That's a popular style.
You wanted
a
Kennywood by hitting the three bottles, milk bottles down.
Screw you. I love this hat. This was the first hat I noticed in the gift shop at Pittsburgh Brewing yesterday. I was like, oh, I got to have that one.
I tried some of that rye whiskey, man. 8 hours later, I was still tasting it. So,
It's good. Full disclosure. Kaboom and I went on a tour of Pittsburgh Brewing yesterday, and that facility is friggin' incredible. Like, we walk back into this massive warehouse, and literally there's cold beer being filled into the aluminum cans as they're coming down the line.
May or may not have did the old Laverne and Shirley grab one and drink it. May or may not. It's 10 in the morning.
Maybe. May have had a couple sips of some nectar of the gods, as Pat McAfee called it a couple weeks ago, as we were taking a tour.
That's another thing. We got that sticker that says Nectar of the Gods.
I got one right here.
Yeah, don't do this, apparently. My kid wanted to put it on his water jug for school, so I said, go ahead. And I got yelled at. I'm like, too late now.
Sorry. They're not going to let him take it to school.
It's water. It's 99, you know, what is beer? Mostly water with a little extra good stuff in it.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to let him have that on the old Stanley or whatever it's called.
Apparently they don't care about the health of the students at TJ.
No, they don't care if they get run over by a bus on Guildhall Road. I mean, so why would they worry about what they're drinking at school? We talk about Baker and Evans and Egbuka and the Buccaneers offense against the Steelers defense and how may have been a little shaky for the Steelers secondary. Other side of the ball, Steelers come out and they do the 7 shots deal. And apparently it sounds like looked really good. Pat Freiermuth said they went like 6 out of 7 on 7 shots, but then they do the 2-minute drill to close out practice. And as good as they looked in 7 shots, they looked that horrid in the 2-minute drill, didn't even pick up a first down.
I mean, it very well could be because the Steelers basically invented 7 shots and the Buccaneers are probably like, what is this? And everybody does 2-minute drill. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Yeah, I think they had 4 plays and they were done. Something like that. It wasn't a very good rep or a very good period for the Steelers offense at that point right there. So
was it just dropped passes?
Pressures. You know, you're not running the ball with that situation. Totally different defenses that they find. That's the thing. I mean, after your 3 weeks of training camp, you know whatever you – I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you drop back to pass, you know where Pat Queen's going. You know where Peyton Wilson's going. You know everything. Here, it's like pretty much have to read and react, you know. So it's early. So I wouldn't read too much into it, just like I would read much into the 7 shots because this has been constantly going with the same people. I mean, the Metcalf/Rogers thing, I don't see how that can be stopped if you get the ball inside the 10. I mean, they're on the same page. He's obviously a big guy. Rogers puts it in the right spot. I just don't see anybody being able to consistently stop that. So,
I mean, they've got a handful of targets that if you get the ball in their hands inside the 10, inside the 5, they should be able to score. And it's not just Metcalf. It's Metcalf. It's all 3 of the top 3 tight ends, Freiermuth, Smith, and Washington. It's Warren. You get the ball in the hands of any of those guys, like I said, down inside the 5, you should be scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, it's something they've struggled to do for a while now. I mean, I guess 2 years ago they were pretty good at red zone. Last year I don't think as well, if I remember, but I am getting old. But you get the ball down there, you're going to have to be able to score, and I think they do have – they showed yesterday against Tampa, and I think they showed – throughout camp that they're able to do that. So
the Rodgers Metcalf thing is working well in like 7 shots and goal line and
down. He throws it to him every single first play of 7 shots without fail.
So that has that level of success. And I'm not just talking about yesterday. I'm talking about throughout training camp. Has that level of success with Rodgers and Metcalf extended out beyond the opposing team's 5 or 10 yard line?
Yeah, I mean, different routes.
Right.
But, yeah, I think they have a good connection. I mean, I think they're 2 talented guys, obviously, and I think they've on that same wavelength, and he looks for him. So, I think it does. I think you look at what Metcalf's able to do what he's been able to do. I mean, he looks like a 100 catch, 1,000 yard, maybe double digit touchdown guy to me. If everybody stays healthy, if Roger stays healthy, if he stays healthy and plays all the games, I think that's how good he's been. Now, obviously, there's other positions that are a little iffy there. I mean,
yeah, like the entire run game, like that still seems to be a struggle, it sounds like.
Yeah, you remember a couple of years ago, they struggled really bad in the first half, and all of a sudden in the second half, they turned it around. Man, the more and more I watch it, it seems like it might be going down that route again. Now, by you know, maybe after the bye, week 5 or 6, finally they start to rev it up a little bit, and they're going to start running. Maybe I'm wrong too, but there's nothing I saw from the run game in 3 weeks that says
they're going to hit the ground literally running.
Top 10 running team.
Yikes.
I just don't.
So that leads us down the path. Before we get to trying to predict and preview what's going to happen in tomorrow night's preseason game, which we'll do to wrap things up, it leads us down the path of some of the things Andy Weidel spoke about yesterday. Before we get to that, we obviously have to thank our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. It's hot out. Like it's not going to be hot out. It is hot out. And if your AC isn't doing what you want it to do, or you just think you might need it tuned up, whatever it is, service, repair, replacement, you need your HVAC system looked at. Look, in a couple months, it'll be cold again, and maybe the furnace will be on the fritz. Impact HVAC is there to take care of you. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or you can just give them a call at 412-297-1852. We appreciate them continuing to support Kabali and Mac as well. Andy Weidel spoke yesterday. No cameras, please. No cameras, but we have the audio of it. And he talked about a lot of different stuff. We won't get into every single little thing that he talked about because he talked for close to 15 minutes, I think. But there are a couple interesting things that came up. And since we were just talking about the run game, he was asked about Caleb Johnson, both how he's looked in camp, which he said, you know, he's not going to say anything bad. He said he's continuing to work hard, all that. But then he was just asked in general why they liked Caleb Johnson so much that they drafted him where they did.
His vision, his instincts, his ability to run into a loaded box and find a crease, the explosive plays, his ability to break tackles. I think the power he ran with, you know, the longer the game went, the stronger he got. It's a lot of horsepower in his lower body.
A lot of horsepower in the lower body is a great way of saying he's got a huge ass. Wow. But I mean, it's a nice way of saying it.
What are you looking at people's asses for?
I haven't actually looked at his ass. I have not assessed it and have no interest in assessing the size of his ass, but I would prefer if my team's starting running back did have a sizable ass, because that indicates that, like Andy Weidel just said there, he's going to hit the creases and break it to the second level and then hopefully beyond more often than not. But I hesitate to put too much impact or stress or importance on a single preseason game. It feels like tomorrow night has to be a game where people leave going, okay, yeah, I feel good about Caleb Johnson now.
Yeah, and I have a feeling they're going to try to feature him a little bit more than they did. What, he had 5 carries the other day? If they can, I think they're going to want to get him more or less rolling a little bit more now. But you do have 4 or 5 starters. I mean, Sam Wall is not going to play, of course. But Spencer Anderson's had enough time. I mean, he's probably had, what, a dozen starts under his belt now to be able to be fill in nicely there. So I wouldn't say it's a huge game for Caleb Johnson, but you'd at least want to see something from him. I mean, he jumped onto the scene at training camp, popping those holes and just accelerating like a Ferrari through him, wham. Then all of a sudden it just disappeared a little bit. And Tomlin even said yesterday, I want him to like trust himself more, you know, don't play, was he all gas, no brakes? He's like half gas, half
no brakes.
He's half gas, half brakes right now. So
I wonder if that's like overthinking and tentativeness and stuff going on upstairs, Or is that like just the grind of training camp maybe getting to him a little bit?
Maybe he got popped once too and said, "Eh." He's probably just thinking too much and just not reacting. You just have to trust yourself, and especially when they do some of the outside zone things, trust what you're seeing and do that one cut and get downhill. I think once he finds some success, even if it is in a preseason game, then that will be a good starting point of, you know, really winding things up to be a guy that can help in the second half of the season.
Here's what my concern is for Caleb Johnson is that he has a game or two early on in the season where, you know, it's like, and I understand he's going to be splitting time with Jaylen Warren and probably not touching the ball as much as Warren the first few weeks of the season, especially. But if he has those games where he only gets like 6, 7, 8 touches, this is a guy, and Andy Weidel said it yesterday, who really starts to put the foot to the floor and take advantage of opportunities late in games because he wears down the opposing defense, right? He just pounds the rock, pounds the rock, pounds the rock, and then all of a sudden, like you said, hits a crease and steps on the gas and goes for 40 yards. If he's only seeing the ball half a dozen times a game early on, it makes it much harder to do that because, you know, it just, it's a simple fact. If you're only touching the ball every so often, you're not the guy that's in there wearing down the opposing defense and maybe not getting as many opportunities to find that one crease at the second level that you might get in a game and take advantage of.
Yeah, but the problem there is, and this with all three of them, is I don't think they're going to, well, maybe more Johnson Gainwell more than Warren is. He's a little bit limited what he can do catching the ball. He's more than limited what he can do catching the ball and blocking still in that iffy level. So just that alone is not going to afford you to be on the field for, you know, a number of plays.
So right? here's the idea then. And I don't know, I'm sure they won't, I shouldn't say I'm sure because I'm getting negative and pessimistic already. And I shouldn't. I imagine what they'll do is Warren will be the first down back. And every once in a while, they'll rotate Caleb Johnson in. Like, if Jaylen Warren is your best pass blocker, let's say, and maybe Kenny G is your best pass catcher, maybe it's Warren or Gainwell, I don't know. Get Johnson in there on early downs. I mean, maybe that reduces the threat of throwing the ball out of the backfield, but I think if you get him some of those early reps and use Warren as not a changeup, but as a guy who can really play all three downs, same would go for Gainwell, kind of a third down specialist, I would think, this year, then you're getting Caleb Johnson going early, hopefully, and ensuring he does get those reps as opposed to maybe you're down 10-0 late in the second quarter. Caleb Johnson hasn't touched the field yet, and now you're going with more pass sets and pass schemes, and he doesn't see the field at all.
I don't think they're going to reinvent the wheel in their running game. I think you're going to have Warren getting a lot of the opportunities and maybe a series in the first quarter, a series in the second quarter, depending how it goes, and you throw Caleb Johnson in there. I don't anticipate them mixing and matching in series unless it's a, you know, a 15-play series. I just don't see it. Honestly, right now, as I sit here right now today, I don't know how many – by the bye week, how many carries would Caleb Johnson have if somebody would force me to –
25.
I would say probably less than that right now.
Jeez.
25?
That's yeah, like, I'm giving him 6 a game through the first 4 weeks and then adding one
I'd
extra.
I'd say maybe a little bit less, a little bit fewer. Boy, we changed our minds. They weren't losing the game last year. They were going to last week. Now they're not winning. And they're going to stink.
Nobody said they're not winning and they're going to stink.
Oh, we're.
You pay too much attention to social media.
I don't pay attention to social media.
Then who's saying that?
Because they make stuff up.
No, really?
I don't know. There's people like freaking. I mean, don't get me started on the social media. There's like accounts and podcasts that got hundreds of thousands of subscriptions and listens, and they live in Guatemala. Like, what are we doing here?
Or they say that Kaboom said something that he didn't say about going out and getting a wide receiver.
I said wide receiver, and I don't know where Tyreek Hill and Terry McLaurin came from, or even Amari Cooper. I said, what the
I said Amari Cooper. Someone in the comments said Terry McLaurin.
You said a wide receiver. I said, you're in a ballpark. Then you said McLaurin. I said, actually, McLaurin would be like box seats right above the dugout. I'm talking about upper deck nosebleed seats. And somehow it turns into their trade for Terry McLaurin. What I'm saying is he's going to be a guy. It ain't going to be the guy.
Ain't going to be Terry McLaurin. No, McLaurin's going to stay in Washington. I would agree with you in that regard. I don't think that's happening. But Andy Weidel was asked about his wide receiver group yesterday, and he rattled off all the names and what he likes about each guy: Metcalf, Woods, Austin, Wilson, even gave Scotty Miller a mention in there, and then said basically what you said the other day: the store is open.
There, watching these guys grow and develop, you know, we're always going to keep an eye open. If a player becomes available, I talked about it last year, we always do our due diligence. That's our job. Any player that becomes available, any position in the league, that's on us. We have to know the player. And, you know, if it's the right player, right price, and we look at it. So
that's basically saying, yes, we're still looking for another wide receiver, without saying, yes, we're still looking for another wide receiver.
And also says once cut down day, which would be the 26th, which is what, 11 days from now, they're going to cut people down. Then they'll have off after that Panthers game, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, before they get back to work on Monday. Those 3 days right there, just keep an eye on potential trades.
So basically, what is that, Labor Day weekend you're saying, or before that?
It could be Banana Ball weekend, huh?
When's Banana Ball weekend?
The 29th.
That's Labor Day weekend. Labor Day's super early this year.
Yeah, Banana Ball. I'm still trying to get my kid not to go so I can sell him and make some cash.
Why would you do that? How excited are you?
You see the price of those suckers now. I can make a grand easy by just selling these tickets.
But your kid really wants to go. Here's the move. How many tickets do you have?
Five.
Okay. Does your daughter have any interest?
She wants to go, but okay, just because her friends are going. I'm like, you know you're not going to see your friends there, but go ahead.
No, she can be on her phone the whole time. She's not going to pay attention to the game. If you could convince your wife and your daughter that they don't need to go, that they're not really missing anything, and you could sell three of them and still make back what you spent on the other two and a little profit, that's entrepreneur Kabali at work there.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking it up. I'm like, wow, these suckers are expensive. Maybe I should look into that.
I still can't believe you got them. I mean, just the dumb luck involved to get through the lottery.
I don't even want things at the right time. I've never watched a Banana Ball. I don't know what it's about.
They're on like ESPN now on the weekend.
I'm not quite interested in going, but I guess if it's bringing the kids, I have to be somewhat interested.
It'll be a good time. You'll have fun.
Yeah, me and 40,000 people, I'm just going to love it.
Yeah, because PNC Park handles big crowds so well. But if that's the same, you may be on your phone the whole time. If that's the weekend you're talking about, because what, they play Tampa tomorrow night. Then is it next Thursday, the 21st, I think it is, they play Carolina. And then cut down day is like the 26th.
I believe you're right on all that.
Okay, so 28th, 29th, 30th, like you said, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday leading into Labor Day weekend is when we may see the move for another receiver. You're going to be sitting there on your phone. You're going to be texting Omar. Omar, what's up? Who are you signing? Who's coming in? Max said it's OBJ. I told him he's a moron.
It's going to be one of those things, too, is – the cutdown day is actually the last day of it's on that Tuesday, I bet. They're probably off that day. I don't know how they're going to do it. Whatever. Just look for right around that period of keeping your eyes peeled here. Although, honestly, I see Calvin Austin was working his way back. I saw him running a little bit yesterday. Highsmith looks like he's darn close to coming back as well. I mean, I know that has nothing to do with receivers, but he should
guys be. Getting healthy is important. Need everybody ready to go week one.
Yeah, because they got that tough game against the Jets.
I mean, I don't care who it is. Week one, I want them ready to go. I don't care if they're playing CCAC South. I want them ready to go week one, totally healthy.
Well, considering we like to say West WCCCC.
Westmoreland County Community College
of Week in Compton Color. We used to call it the Three Clowns. I went there for 2 years, so I can call it the
Three Clowns. You're allowed to say this. Okay.
I drove past there the other day from going to Latrobe, which is the way I went. I haven't been back there in 30 years. I was going to go back, then I'm like, no.
You'd have to sign autographs. It'd be a whole thing. One of the other things Weidel was asked about was the offensive line. And this is how you know Andy Weidel is a trenches guy. He waxes poetic here.
He played the offensive line in college?
Yes, and he waxes poetic here for like 45 seconds about the work the offensive line is doing.
I think every day they go out there together, they get better. And I think they have the right mindset. I think if you watch these guys at practice, when they come off the field on team, they start, they're running wind sprints, right? They go to the side. It's a culture that they're developing. Like, they want to be in shape. They do it together. And I just think, you know, it's a young group. You want to watch them grow together. And anytime you can have the continuity with that, as those guys come up and they gain that experience, they work together, it's only going to serve them well and serve our team well. We know the players that we drafted. We know the people that we drafted too, the relationship with the game, as Coach often talks about, the football maturity, they have the football character, the love for the game. And it's just going to be exciting to watch these guys grow together.
He loves him some linemen, and I don't blame him. He's put together a decent group, a really good group, I think. How did they look during yesterday's joint practice? I get it. Sayamalu's a veteran at the point where he doesn't have to play in the preseason, I guess. But are they going to have enough reps together as a unit of five that they're going to be looking good come week one?
Probably
Oh, great. That makes me feel
not,
a
not in
better.
Week one, but I mean, they went against the Tampa Bay defensive line. It was pretty.
It's dynamic. A good line. It's a good front.
This way, they're better than what the Steelers trot out there. When you got Vita Vea and Kalijah Kancey and characters over there, it was a pretty significant boost for this offensive line. Pretty good test for him. I don't think they did great, but I don't think they did terrible either. The more reps they get, it's the better off. And that's what stinks about Sayamalu. Sure, he can come in and he's fine. But is the guy to the left and right of him going to be fine? Because there's, you know, how much did he play with next to Frazier last year? I still, that's 1 year. How much did he play next to Broderick Jones last year?
Not at all.
So you need some cohesion there. But I do like some of the groups. I mean, the Mason McCormick, Zach Frazier. You might as well start a podcast with those two dudes right there, man. They're thick as thieves. If one's taking a dump, the other one's wiping. You know what I'm saying? That's how close they are. I mean, which is good.
At least if they wipe, they don't throw it in a garbage can. They actually flush it, I would think. Easy. Unlike some people.
Easy.
I'm just saying.
they're on the right path with the offensive line. And I mean, you think last time they had the good offensive line, they did the same sort of structure there where they went to Castro, Pouncey. They got lucky with Foster. I guess they got lucky with Villanueva. They drafted Gilbert early. So very similar path.
As long as they can run block, they'll be okay.
But you got two potential. You got one Hall of Famer, one borderline Hall of Famer, but probably won't in DeCastro, and three very solid, you know, one was all pro or pro bowler, Villanueva. So that's a pretty steep comparison there to that group there.
Yeah, but Frazier already looks like he's going to be one of those guys. I'm not going to put the Hall of Fame tag on him, but he looks like a guy who could if he stays healthy, start at that position like for a decade and be very good.
I keep saying I like McCormick. He got that mentality that you need to be the guard, just to beat the crap out of anybody. Speaking of that, how about that fight yesterday? There was two fights back-to-back within 3 minutes, within three plays of each other.
Who got into it?
Well, the best part of it was the first fight. Well, the second fight was Skoranek off of somebody hit him in the back after a special teams gunner run. But before that, two plays before that, a big brouhaha happened on the special teams punting unit where Corliss Waitman had to drag Cam Johnston off of somebody.
No.
And the best part about this is, and this is why I'm allowed to say this, I guess, because Christian Coons ran over to me and goes, "Did you see? Did you see?" I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I jumped in there and started swinging at people."
Friend of the program, Christian Coons.
So that was
that seems like something that seems like something an Australian punter does. He just gets into it with people.
Waitman's a lot bigger than me. He had to grab him and pull him. But apparently Coons is, and according to him, he was in there taking some shots.
What started?
I didn't quite see that. Probably just a little overzealous special teamers smacking you when you're not paying attention. I don't know. It was hard because it was hard to be able to see in the interior. I didn't even think it started with Coons. It might have started with one of the guards. It might have been a guy like McCormick. I'm not even sure, but I just saw Waitman pulling Johnston and Coons telling me how he jumped in there and like dropped the people's elbow on people.
Oh, that's fantastic. You knew at least one was going to happen yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? I think it was last year. Tomlin says, you fight, you sit.
Did that
happen? There were no fights last year.
Did that happen yesterday?
I don't think he cared about the punter or the long snapper. Well, he didn't have another long snapper, so he didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, so that's how you get away with it. Have no one backing you up.
You know, I was looking at Skoranek too. I mean, we talk about him as a potential five and a good special teams player, but the guy is a freaking really good gunner, man. I'm just staring at him at the taking some of the gunner reps, and he was getting, you know, double barrel shotgun there, which Tomlin would call it, and he'd be splitting them and just flying down the field. He's very, very good at that.
That's one of those things that'll keep a fifth wide receiver around, the ability to play some special teams. One final clip I wanted to play from Andy Weidel before we get ready to wrap up here today, and we'll give you some, I don't know if we'll call them predictions. I guess we'll make predictions. It's a preseason game. What the hell are we predicting? But before we get to that, Andy Weidel asked about the hold-in of Cam Hayward.
Running the point on that with the negotiation, I'm going to stay out of that, away from that, out of respect to him and Cam's people in the process. Cam Hayward's a great pro. He's an all-time great Steelers. I was a great player, great family man. You know, means a ton to the organization. He knows how to get himself ready to play. That's one thing we learned about him. He knows how to get himself ready to play. He's done this for a long time at a high level.
So not much concern from Andy about Cam Hayward. I would imagine that probably echoes the thoughts of just about everybody in the organization
now. Honestly, does that even cross your mind of him being ready week one? I don't think it's ever even crossed my mind.
No. Even if I said it, I'll run naked across the Clemente Bridge if he misses time because of this contract dispute. He's going to be out there week one. And like I would suspect he'll be ready.
I mean, it's just all games right now. It's just weird.
Negotiation.
No, it's not. I don't even think it's negotiations. It might be like, yo, we're going to give you this money on this date, but you can sit out until then. And he'll be like, I'm sitting out until then because I don't, you know, until it's in my pocket, I don't not trust you, but I'm not going to do anything crazy. But we got to make it look like we're playing hardball here. So, you know, John X next year doesn't come to me and say, well, Cam did this.
I mean, you outlined, like you outlined the way it can get done with the shifting of the money and all that stuff. Yeah. And look, I think ultimately Steelers fans, when Cam Hayward shows up week one to play, are a lot of this will blow over. It's just the initial reaction to somebody deciding at a very odd time to make something like this public that I think caught people off guard, where they're like, wait, what? And also the fact that it is a guy who is at this point in his career synonymous with the organization, synonymous with the city, really. And people go, wait, what? We didn't expect this. You just signed a new deal last year.
But he really didn't even sign a new deal last year. I mean, you think about it. He was due $16 million last year.
Okay.
What did he end up getting?
Just about that, right?
That. And yeah, he just added a year on here. I mean, it's not like it was a raise. It was just an extension almost. It's not like he got a ton of extra money into this. And none of it was really guaranteed. If they wanted to, they could have just said, nope, sorry about that roster bonus in March. See ya. And he gets nothing. He would have gotten nothing. So you give him $4 or $5 million from that next year's guaranteed money. Makes you get, what, close to $20 million this year. Yay. And if I turn into an all-pro again, guess what? That contract is void. We'll rip it up. We'll write you another one-year deal or whatever. And everybody's happy.
I guess everybody's happy. I mean, it still strikes me that, like, the agent, or maybe it's on Cam, I don't know, a year ago could have handled this a whole lot better so that Cam would have gotten the...
He was worried that he wasn't going to recover from his injury enough to be the contract that he got. I think he didn't bet on himself, and he probably should have. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, yes, but I think he was more worried about, oh no, I might have this injury, my career might be over, so I better get this now.
Not to tread over the same ground we've gone over in each of the last two episodes when we've talked about this, but like, that's part of what happens in life, though, is like, sometimes you're in a position where you got to take a deal that isn't as good as maybe you think it should be, so that you get some level of assurance or security. Yeah. And in the everyday walks of life that most of us exist in, we go, oh yeah, I kind of screwed myself now, hindsight being 20/20, but I got to live with it for another year. And most people would go to their boss, be like, hey boss, listen, like, yeah, you know what it was like a year ago. I kind of screwed myself over, but you know, you saw how well I performed. Maybe you could help me out a little bit. Right. And if their boss goes, I don't know, maybe, then they go, oh shit, I guess I should just go back to work then. Yeah. And that whole element of this is what's important, I think. And why, again, nobody on this show, nobody with more than half a brain is saying, well, then just trade them and get rid of them or cut them. Like, nah, that's not the solution here. And that's not what anybody is realistically suggesting. But the idea that you did something in order to gain comfort and security a year ago, and now because you outperformed maybe even your own expectations so much last season, you're going to come back and say, hey, might have screwed up last year, boss. Maybe you can help me out a little bit. If the boss doesn't want to help you out, the boss doesn't have to. Yeah, you can't threaten to not come to work next week.
But, I mean, let's put it in perspective of, say, this podcast. How about we got together in January and said, Mac, we're going to get paid $100 a week.
Yeah.
Through this podcast. You're like, oh, okay, whatever. We don't know what's going on. It's great. And by the time we hit September, October, November, this podcast is making $50,000.
Right.
And you'd be like, wait a second here. Maybe I should go and see if I can rework this thing, because this isn't quite fair. I mean, if you put in your perspective a little bit rather than a perspective of a pro athlete.
So, see, that's too much apples and oranges to actually apply here, because this is a 50-50 joint venture, basically.
And if we're making $50,000 doing this podcast, I'm getting ripped off.
Yeah, don't tell. this is different, where it's an employer-employee relationship, and I get it. It's a guy who's more than just an employee. Like I said, synonymous with the franchise, synonymous with the city, good person. This isn't like some whiny crybaby of a player who gives you all sorts of headaches all the time. This is a guy who people want to root for. And it's just, again, it's all going to blow over when he walks out there week one. But I do understand those that have been turned off by it. The first time he sacks somebody or drags somebody down in the backfield for a loss, it's all going to be water under the bridge.
Under the bridge, unless it's trying to make some funny joke about water getting stuck under the bridge. What do you call that? The old ice jam. Unless it's an ice jam.
Ice jam on an alligator.
Breaks loose.
Yeah.
And then Shumway's down at the point looking for the ice to go over the fountain. Is that fountain going to be ready for the draft day is the question.
They said it is, didn't they?
Did you happen to see, by the way, the Southside clock?
Oh, yes, I did. Looks beautiful. Beautiful.
I mean, I spend some time in Southside next to, not far from the Arch. Archie's place.
Right.
Should have called it Archie's place now I think about it. Just like
Archie. Yeah, stifle Bunker. It. Wouldn't you eat it?
I got a good clip the other day of a meathead. You're dead from the head up. Meathead.
Meathead. I didn't realize. Did you see the pictures? I guess that's what you're talking about from this morning that Dave DiCello took of the Iron City beer clock on the south side. It's the largest single clock in the United States.
I thought that was Big Ben Parliament. I saw Big Ben yesterday. Talked to him.
How's he doing?
He says to me, he goes, "Oh, big time now. I have to ask permission to even talk to you now."
What is he talking about?
I don't know. I just been trying to be funny. I said, "Hey, I'm not the one throwing balls through hoops at the big night out."
That's true. Did you give him a standing?
I can't even say the story. I was going to tell the story about Ken.
What? You can't do
about
that.
No, he was just telling me about, he saw Crosby throw in the back with the big night out. He said, "There's no chance in the world he's making this." So I felt pretty good. Then he went out there and buried it.
Drilled it.
Shit.
Pressure's on, Ben.
He says, "Yeah, I felt a lot of pressure there, man."
Did you give him the standing invite to the podcast? Good job. What are you doing?
Alu was there. Talked to him for a while.
Did you invite anybody on the show?
The great Charlie Batch was there. Talked to him for a while.
Did you invite anybody on the show?
Was there.
Anybody?
The Kevin Colbert was there.
Jesus, man. And you didn't mention it to anybody.
I got a job to do, man. I'm trying to see who's in cover two and stuff.
So while you're talking to them, you couldn't be like, "Hey, by the way, doing this podcast thing now. If you ever want to come on, we'd love to have you." Couldn't drop that in there?
Don't we looking at more guesses, off-season stuff?
No, anytime.
Really?
You think we, yeah, you know what? If Ben calls you up tomorrow and says, "Hey, Kabali, I want to come on that podcast of yours," you're going to be like, "Sorry, Ben. Games are being played. Can't have you on."
Want to. That's interesting.
Yeah, phrasing.
Nobody wants to.
Everybody wants to come on here. What are you talking about? Anyway, tomorrow's preseason game. Who do you see having a big game? Give me a prediction.
Prediction?
Yes.
Pain.
Okay.
You fell for that one, didn't you? Oh, my God.
Teed you up for that one.
Unbelievable. How'd you let that one happen?
Sometimes I put them on a tee for you so you can knock them clear out of the park.
At first, I got to go through and see who's actually going to play here.
Nobody.
Who's going to play to make you say, "Boy, he had a pretty good game"? That's hard because I'm going with I'm going with the guy that's showing up all camp, Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller.
Scotty Miller. Against a former team of his.
I'm saying the Scott man, he's going to be the guy.
Okay.
I mean, I think Mason will be good again. I don't know how much reps he's going to get. I think they saw what they needed to see from him last year. Last week, you're going to see a lot of whatever that guy's name is.
Skylar Thompson.
Logan Woodside. Oh, Logan. Skylar Thompson. Or something. You're going to see a lot of that. I'd like to see who I'd like to see have a decent game is obviously Caleb Johnson.
Yes.
But I can see Scotty Miller being in the guy. And don't ever, ever count out Mad Max Hurlman.
Oh, that's right.
He only had a touchdown yesterday again. So,
camp darling, Max Hurlman.
Scotty Miller.
Scotty. I predicted this before the first game. I'm going to stick with it for the second game and double down on it. I see what I did there with the hat? I see. You like that?
Now you got like pen marks on your hat.
No, I don't. There's no, it's a pencil anyway. I see Jack Sawyer coming up with a big play at some point. I expected it in week one of the preseason. I'm going to double down on it and say week two, we get a big play from Jack Sawyer at some point. 23-17 Tampa, though. I'll throw that out. How about that?
Whatever it is, I hope it's less than 2-3 hours. About 2.5 hours would be great. No rain. Let's have no rain. No lightning storms.
No lightning delays. I am not sitting undercover tomorrow night, so no rain. None.
You're going on purpose.
Yeah, my son's been bugging me to go to a game since.
You got to tell that kid to settle down.
And I figured it's a preseason game. You know, it'll fulfill the appetite just a little bit to get to a game, and I can put off taking him to a regular season game where it's cold and everyone's drunk and hammered for another year, maybe.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's a different crowd like tomorrow because they mostly give away the tickets.
Yeah.
The season ticket holders, so it's a crowd. You know, one of the only games I ever went to of all games when I was a kid, a Pittsburgh Maulers game. It was very similar to that. You know, nobody wanted to go to the Maulers, so I was just sitting there watching the game. If I do recall, Jim Kelly threw for about 7,000 yards that game as the Houston Gamblers destroyed the Pittsburgh Maulers, then gave their uniforms to the Baldwin Highlanders.
That's true. Totally true. Cliff Stott, was he quarterback in the Maulers?
Like Rozier.
Yep.
Look up Houston Gamblers, probably 85, 86. I got to sneeze.
Then sneeze.
I don't know how to shut the audio off.
There's a little microphone, literally, right there. Achoo.
Did you hear it?
That sounded like a little girly sneeze.
You didn't even hear it. I had the microphone off.
No, I heard it. You went, achoo. 1985 Houston Gamblers.
85, 86, something like that. Gamblers.
Let's see. Pittsburgh, it was an away game at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They didn't play him in 1985. It was 80,
whatever the hell year it was.
I'm trying to look it up. You asked me to look it up, and now I'm trying to look it up.
2023. 5-12-84. So there you go.
84. You were off by 2 years.
Jim Kelly threw a 68-yard touchdown pass to Ricky Sanders.
Wow, Ricky Sanders. 47-26. It says 24,000 people were at that game. There's no way there were actually 24,000 people, right? The Maulers went 3-15 that year. Good God.
What did Kelly end up with?
Let me pull up the box score. They don't have a box score. What the hell? Screw this. I'm sure he threw for like 400 yards. It was Jim Kelly in his prime. That's going to do it for today's edition of Cabale and Mac. We'll be back on Monday to break down everything that happened in the preseason game. Get you ready for preseason game number 3, the final one before the regular season. Maybe we'll have roster moves. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll be excited about some different players. Maybe we'll still be waiting for other guys to show up. But we thank each and every one of you for joining us for every single episode. Don't forget to follow on social media at Cabale and Mac. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube for a chance to win that autographed Paul Skeens baseball at Cabale and Mac. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Kaboom. Have fun covering the game tomorrow night. If you see me in Bloomfield later tonight or down on the north side tomorrow, say hi. I'll have my beautiful yellow hat on that Kaboom's jealous of. That's going to do it for this edition of Kabbalion Mac. Have yourselves a great weekend.